Hello everyone and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Thursday, April 24, 2025 and I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Warid Ahmed and we have a great show for you today. Firstly, we're going to give you all the highlights of day three of Dubai AI Week. There was a celebration of OSN's $57 million deal with Warner Bros. Discovery in Dubai that happened just last night and we're going to discuss that. And Mohammed Al-Abbar's Ihmar has waived 4 months of rent for F&B outlets facing the Dubai Fountain. And finally, most UAE firms have actually halted hiring in Q1 2025 as corporate tax and costs have been adding up.
Yeah, and the very first story, very important story, today is day four, but we'll give you the highlights of day three of Dubai AI Week. It saw major announcements and global collaboration at the Machines Can See Summit, which was inaugurated by His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid bin Mohammed Al Maktoum. The summit brought together over 2,000 AI leaders and experts under the patronage of His Highness Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed and focused on computer vision breakthroughs and responsible AI innovation.
Now, the event featured a high-level ministerial session titled Wanted AI to Retain and Attract Talent with speakers from Egypt, Malaysia, Indonesia, Kazakhstan, and beyond. Now, ministers shared national strategies for AI education, ethical frameworks, and digital visas, agreeing to co-author a white paper on cross-border talent mobility and launch pilot projects in health and smart city data.
And AI leaders, including Gerard Medioni of Amazon, Dr. Michael Bronstein of Oxford, and Daniel Lacovelli of Roche, unveiled breakthroughs in AI for media, medicine, and drug discovery. A panel moderated by Dana Al-Umar explored the ethics of good AI while investors debated capital efficiency in deep tech during the session titled Bite-Sized Profits.
Meanwhile, His Highness Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed awarded the winners of the Global Prompt Engineering Championship. Now, four standout talents from the UAE, Syria, Canada, and Palestine were recognized across art, video, gaming, and coding. Over 3,800 entries from 125 countries made this one of the largest creative AI competitions to date.
And the Dubai AI Festival also kicked off another theme, enabling digital economies, with over 10,000 attendees and 100 speakers from top global companies. The festival featured pavilions from South Korea and China, sessions on AI ethics, and showcased Dubai's growing ecosystem of 800 AI companies, 66% of which are headquartered in the Emirate.
Finally, a new report by Boston Consulting Group revealed that the UAE is among the top AI contenders globally. Now, with strong infrastructure and strategic vision, the UAE is on the cusp of becoming a true AI pioneer. Now, BCG, the consultancy firm, predicts that deep investment in talent, R&D, and ethical deployment will further cement its leadership in the digital future.
It's a very big event that's happening. A lot of people are asking how to attend it. What can we do? Just register online. Go to DubaiAIWeek.com. I think it's .com or .ae. But you can go register. It's open for public. So why are you waiting? It's fourth day. Tomorrow is the fifth day. It's happening at Emirates Tower. So yeah, it's happening in those areas. So you can take the metro as well.
I really see it becoming extremely iconic. Like already I'm seeing that so many of my friends and my family, they're attending. Yeah. And, you know, over time, every single year, this is going to become one of those iconic events that everyone goes to for networking.
Yeah, the things like JITEX, Arab Travel Market is happening next week. All these events, they have their like place in the calendar. No one tries to put their events in those dates. So I think Dubai AI Week will become
that thing. It's definitely going to become like that. And I think for me, what I found very interesting was this speech by the Minister of Artificial Intelligence of the UAE, Umar Al-Ulama, I believe his name is. And basically what he was saying is the UAE is not just trying to take AI to just improve technology. They actually want to improve our quality of life. And the way that they want to do this is they want to do it silently in such a manner that either you or me, like, we don't even notice. Yeah. And I think for me, that was so key.
Yeah.
Because in the end of the day, I think the best kind of human invention that can happen for any of us is if our quality of life is improved, if things are made easier for us. And I think we're lucky in that sense that we live a part of that kind of generation where life is probably just going to keep getting easier.
Yeah. We shared this video on our social media. Very good segue to follow us on social media if you're listening. But the example that he gave was Dubai Airport. And I firsthand seen it that when I go to Dubai Airport, I have zero anxiety, zero tension. The whole process takes like 2-3 minutes, maximum 5 minutes if you have to walk a lot. You just scan your passport, show your face, and just go through the gates. No immigration lines, no nothing. But when you go to other airports, it's a lot. So I think they have done something for our quality of life, the airport life at least. Traveling has become so much easier because of that. And that Dubai UAE is doing great. So let's move on to another thing, another Dubai story. A major media deal was celebrated in Dubai last night, marking a pivotal moment in the region's streaming landscape. On March 23, 2025, last month, Warner Brothers Discovery announced it will acquire a minority stake in OSN Streaming Limited, the digital arm of Dubai-based OSN Group. The entertainment giant is investing $57 million for roughly one-third ownership, a move designed to expand its presence in the Middle East's fast-growing entertainment sector.
Now, according to OSN Group CEO Joe Kaukabani, the investment will be completed in phases pending regulatory approvals. Now, the deal goes beyond just capital. It's a strategic partnership aimed at ramping up locally produced content, expanding content libraries, and enhancing production capabilities. You know, this is really the angle of the deal, said Kaukabani. Whether it's producing or expanding content, this partnership opens doors.
The collaboration builds on existing ties. Obviously, OSN already holds exclusive regional rights to Warner Brothers' film catalog and HBO's programming through multi-year license deals signed in 2022 and 2023. Kaukabani suggested that while those agreements will remain separate, the new partnership could facilitate further expansion and deeper content integration.
Now, the Middle East is becoming an increasingly attractive market for global entertainment players. Rising disposable incomes and a tech-savvy youth population are really fueling this demand. Now, local platforms like OSN, Stars Play, and Saudi's NBC Group are competing with global giants like Netflix and Amazon for viewership and loyalty.
And OSN Streaming also holds a majority stake in Anghami, the region's answer to Spotify, further strengthening its digital ecosystem. For Warner Brothers, this follows a similar strategy in Turkey, where it fully acquired Blue TV in 2023, 2 years after a minority investment.
Now, Warner Bros. Says this could be their last M&A move in the Middle East for now. Now, this is the final piece of the puzzle for our ecosystem in the region, said Jamie Cook, Warner Bros. Discovery's EVP for the Middle East. He also added, now, we just need to make them all work together, but never say never.
Yeah. The story is very interesting because the example of Blue TV, where they took a minority stake and eventually bought it, I don't think they're going to buy OSN. It's going to, even if they do, it's going to be a once-in-a-century deal. Because OSN is very old. It's very established, very well-settled. Even with the money coming in, this $57 million, they didn't need the money. It's just they took the money because, obviously, their local content will now be available to Warner Brothers Discovery. So it's that kind of a deal. And local content, to be honest, we have smashy entertainment. We do entertainment movies, series, all these stories on it. So you can go follow another segue into one of our social media. But Smashy Entertainment, you see it that there's so many actors, so many local stars, actresses, actors.
And
everyone loves them, follows them.
And last night, a lot of these like local influencers, characters that we have on the media, they all met last night to actually celebrate this $57 million deal. And it was at the Atlantis Cloud 22. And I even saw the videos from the influencers, Arab influencers that I follow. And so many of them were there. And it's You know, it's interesting how it's all coming together. But do you actually use OSN? I use OSN, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I just finished season one of The White Lotus on it.
I don't have OSN Plus. My wife has OSN. My wife has all the channels. I just sometimes randomly
it's
go
good.
And see if there
it's
is some.
Really good.
I have to see The Last of Us, second season.
By the way, I started watching it too. That's, I think for me, just OSN, the options that it has, like it has really good options that I honestly think are way better than Netflix. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, but again, the content library, two giants merging their content library, it's always good for consumers. We get more series for the same amount of money that we pay for one streaming platform.
We really do. But just speaking of consumers and feeling heard, Mohamed Al-Abbar's Emaar is certainly making its consumers feel heard. So in a move to support tenants amid changing dynamics, Emaar Malls has announced a four-month rent waiver for select food and beverage outlets at Dubai Mall and Souq Al-Bahar. Now, the relief applies to more than 50 tenants with lake and fountain-facing terraces following the recent closure of all of the iconic Dubai Fountain, a major attraction that has long driven footfall in the area.
And the waiver will cover the months of June through September 2025, a critical period for businesses affected by the loss of fountains, visual draw. Emaar says the move reflects its commitment to long-term partnerships, providing targeted support to help tenants navigate this transition.
Now, to further offset the impact, Emaar will also introduce new digital enhancements. A 400-meter stretch of digital screens is being installed along the promenade, aimed at creating an immersive and engaging atmosphere that will sustain visitor interest and boost foot traffic during the closure period.
For years, terraces overlooking the fountain and lake have been key to the dining experience. Everyone knows that, offering guests unparalleled views and ambiance. Emaar chairman Mohamed Al-Abbar emphasized the importance of these venues, stating the rent relief is part of a broader strategy to maintain vibrancy and support resilience among retail partners. The best thing that you can do is this. You give them rent waiver, and I think it also is coming. It's not only the Dubai fountain closing. It's the compound effect of having summer season as well. Mm. Because in summers, you know, outdoor seatings go dry. Everyone wants to sit inside in ACs. So it's that plus fountain closure. And I think they also placed it very strategically in summertime because they know the footfall becomes lesser in summer because tourists are not coming. A lot of people don't come to Dubai in that heat season. So they very nicely placed that maintenance in that period. And they're giving 4 months.
People come to Dubai now all the time. I remember, Majid, when I was working during the summer, something that I would specifically see in, you know, Majid Al-Futtaim's Mall of the Emirates is that the amount of tourists. I'd see like a group of Chinese people.
Oh yeah.
I'd see a
the
group
flags
of
yes. Thing, right?
I'd see a group of Colombian people. Yeah. I'd see a group of Argentinian people, and I was like, oh my god,
group
it's such big group trips. It really, really is now.
And to be honest, I love those. I think it's the packages that come in the summers that are attracting more people. I remember last year my brother came in summers and he booked a flight with the Emirates. So if you book a flight with Emirates, you get 1 day free at JW Marriott. By booking a normal flight. And if you book business class, you get 2 nights for free, breakfast included. Mm. I was like, okay, just buying the ticket gets you a stay at a good hotel. Why not? Then you have deals like two days, you get 1 day free. Then you buy 3 nights, you get 2 nights free. So there's so much happening, so many deals and sales and like discounts happening that everyone just loves to come. Mm. I remember at the peak of summer, like June, July period, I went to Atlantis and it was full. And I was like, it's so hot. Like getting in the water is good, but as soon as you come out, you feel the heat. Was full to
but
the
this
brim.
Is what I'm saying. You know what it is with these Westerners, Majid? Because they barely see any sun.
Yeah.
Even for them, when it's like sunny, that's
it's
like a good
time
day.
For them,
that's
yeah?
like an amazing time. Like that's a good life.
Just
but
take out your sunscreen bottle, the whole
literally,
of it. Put it
no,
all
for them
over
that's like
go.
Tanning time. Like I can finally tan. Yes. We just don't think of it like that because
we're already
because
tanned.
Our,
naturally
exactly,
tanned.
We're naturally tan, so we don't think of it like that. Yeah. But no, there's nothing more they love more than summer. But just on this you know, the story about Emaar and them waiving 4 months of rent. Yeah. I think that's completely generous, but is it really out of the kindness of their heart? Because
to be honest, it's not even kindness. Again, long term strategy. strategy, this is the best thing that you can do.
Maybe long-term strategy, but just recently, we did discuss how Ahmad, it dropped, I believe, was it 9% in profit?
Oh, yeah, the property.
And you know, this is just something that I allegedly heard from someone, is that in some of their properties, people have been, you know, complaining about certain issues, whether it's their electricity goes down. Basically, I remember when I used to live in this complex, it was Al-Wasl. I forgot who owns Al-Wasl. I really should know this. Do you know, Majid?
Al-Wasl is not owned by Imad, that much I know.
I think it's the government.
Nakhil is government.
I think Al-Wasl is the government. I really do think so.
I have no idea. I never went deep.
I'm really curious.
Next topic, Al-Wasl.
There's no developer that I honestly love more than Al-Wasl. I think they're great. They're great, by the way. I remember when I used to live in a complex, Al-Wasl complex. It was.
I still live in a Al-Wasl maintained building.
It's amazing because if you have something that goes wrong, whether the electricity or any issue that you have, they show up immediately. Because obviously when you live in these complexes that are by a specific developer, when you actually have an issue in the house, you can only call for that developer's services. You can't just call like a freelancer to come and help you with your issue. But I've just been hearing that tenants with Ahmad, when they have these issues and they do call for Ahmad's services, they're sometimes delayed. So, you know, I'm just wondering,
to be honest,
where this came from.
When you talk to any property broker, for example, if you go to buy any property and you're like, I want quality, but I'm ready to pay any money, but I want quality. The first thing they say is EMAR, because their projects are so like maintained quality-wise. If they say Italian marble, you don't expect a Chinese copy of the Italian marble. You expect the original Italian marble, literally exported from Italy. I think every developer, every constructor, every management, all these people, everyone will have pros and cons. All of them are not angels. Just remembered their code, we are not angels. But yeah, problems are there. Everyone decides on different things. I think if you're looking at a limited budget and you can compromise on the quality of the place, you will go to the second and third tier. But with EMAR, is anyone who has unlimited money and can invest in a good project, they go to EMAR. No one else goes. Al-Wasl is, by the way, owned by Dubai Real Estate Corporation. It's a government entity.
And the company is chaired by His Highness Sheikh Maktoum bin Mohammed bin Rashid Al-Maktoum, so the deputy ruler of Dubai and the deputy prime minister and minister of finance. Yeah. And honestly, when I find this information out, no wonder why it's so good. Yeah. Seriously, no wonder why it's so good. Because ever since I was a kid, we moved from an apartment, then a villa. They were all by Al-Wasl. And truly, they've only offered the best
services.
And
their biggest projects, very interestingly, are in Karama, Dera, Bardubai, and Jumeirah. Because that is like the original Dubai, remember?
Yeah.
That is the original. Whenever I go to those places, I'm like, okay. No, original Dubai is this.
Magic,
it's like the culturally very appropriate, if you want to see what Dubai was. Dubai, Dera, Bardubai, these places are the places where you'll see the actual Dubai.
And by the way, you're completely right because the area that I used to live in my childhood, it's called Al-Hudaiba.
Oh.
Al-Hudaiba is that area.
Nice.
So it was by Al-Wasl, and I always tell my parents this, that I would do anything, and they think I'm completely psychotic for this. I would do anything to go back there because, Majid, everything is beside it. The Lebanese baker is right there. The Indian guy that makes the best karak is right there. The best ligamat, the really good like Emirati store, it's right there. Everything was just right beside us.
Yeah.
Like it was a really beautiful area.
But
anyways,
to be honest, if you see it from a like helicopter perspective, it's a good move. Even if it's not like a money move, it's a very good relationship move. Because those F&B outlets would be like dancing, because the rents, those rents are very
much. Especially in Dubai Mall.
So yeah,
where
Dubai Mall,
like,
and looking at the fountain.
Spot.
You know, the New Year rates, everyone talks about it, 5,000 for a table. So imagine the kind of money they make. But again, just giving them discount because they know fountain is going to close, people won't be able to take their pictures with the fountain, those aesthetic pictures, it will lead to a decreased footfall. But yeah, talking about the word decrease, hiring in the MENA region is very slow right now in Q1 2025.
It is very slow. Now,
so we went to the fourth part.
Yeah, now most companies in the UAE have actually paused hiring in the first quarter of 2025 as rising costs and the impact of corporate tax basically they're completely reshaping recruitment strategies. Now, according to a new report by Cooper Fitch, hiring grew just 1.25%. I'm really sorry for those of you right now who are trying to find a job between January and March, signaling a great shift from rapid expansion to more strategic and efficient workforce planning.
And recruitment slowed across sectors like consulting, manufacturing, HR, and supply chain, but remained strong in legal, technology, real estate, and trade, particularly in Dubai. Cooper Fitch CEO Trevor Murphy, I remember he was talking to ARN and then everyone quoted him, said the UAE is maturing into a highly developed market from a developed market. So that is why businesses are prioritizing profitability and talent retention amid growing operating costs.
Now, factors contributing to this caution include the introduction of the corporate tax, rising rents, and inflation-driven salary increases. Now, Murphy noted that the era of double-digit profit margins is ending in many sectors, prompting firms to reassess hiring and focus on retaining critical staff.
And regionally, Saudi Arabia led hiring with a 3.5% increase. Yesterday, we talked about how IMF's growth for UAE was good. They retained it at 4%, but Saudi growth in terms of GDP and economy was brought down. But Saudi Arabia is still hiring, 3.5% increase, driven by Vision 2030 initiatives in tourism, infrastructure, and digital sectors. So if you're looking for a job, these are the best sectors to apply for. Despite some misconceptions, Murphy said that salary differences between Saudi Arabia and UAE are now relatively minor, though public sector growth in the kingdom remains robust.
Now, across the Gulf, Qatar saw a 3% rise in jobs, while Oman and Bahrain experienced hiring declines. Now, geopolitical risks like U.S.-China trade tensions that are currently ongoing may indirectly impact the Gulf, but could also accelerate growth in intra-GCC trade and in advanced manufacturing, creating new opportunities across the region.
Yeah, so all the fields, all the sectors we talked about are growing. Just try to get a job there. Just try to find, like, go to LinkedIn and
Majid,
go to Naukri Gulf, etc.
I know that for some people, they might see this as completely bad news.
Yeah.
But I'm honestly looking at it from this perspective of redundancy.
Yeah.
Because I feel there's this common trend in certain companies where when, you know, they hire an employee, this employee they have really good skills, a really good resume, but then when the employee actually does come in for the role, they find that employee does not have that much to do.
Yeah.
Why? Because the role is fulfilled by multiple people in the company.
Yeah. Or by AI now.
Exactly. Yeah. So my point with this is, you know, after hiring them for that quick fix, they notice, oh, we don't actually need them. And a lot of companies do this more than people realize. So I think this is good because I think there is nothing worse in this world than being hired for a job and then realizing, oh my God, I don't have that much to do here, and then only to lose it like 6 months later. Yeah. I think there's nothing worse than that. So I think it's good that, you know, this will make companies actually stick to their OGs, stick to their employees who are loyal to them, who have been around for a while. That's what perspective are you seeing it with?
The highly developed part that he said, it's a very nice note that he made, Murphy. He said that it's highly developed now. So it went from developing to developed to highly developed.
Yeah.
And in very highly developed economies, the problem with profitability is that you open a company and as soon as I see that this idea is workable, can get money, a bigger shark comes and starts the same thing. So competition is so stiff that profitability for any company, any startup, any new idea becomes lesser. So if you come up with a new idea right now and you start a company, to be honest, within 3 months when you see you're making money, everyone else will also see that you're making money because you see customers going there and obviously you publish your numbers. Oh, we got 1 million customers in 3 months and blah, blah, blah. So as soon as you start marketing your success, the people who actually have money and can get into your field, they will quickly hire, set up something, give it a name, register, and they'll start doing the same
thing. That's why the Americans don't like the Chinese.
Yeah,
because they do that really quickly. But honestly, I got to respect the hustle. Yeah. I really do. And that's a wrap for today. Thank you so much for tuning into the Smashy Business Show with us. Make sure to follow us across all social media channels at Smashy Business and stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You can find the subscription link in the description.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. A big shout out to our 1.6 million monthly listeners. Thank you so much for being there. Take care. See you on Friday, last day of the weekend.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.